And good morning, Vancouver. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, and you are listening to Tweets and Tunes. I'm Jason. I'm going to be your host for the next hour and a half on this lovely Wednesday, the 14th of November. Beautiful morning driving into Vancouver. We had a couple of days of not so much rain, which is always a great thing here on the West Coast. I got a great show coming up for you today. We've got a little bit of a special show, a little bit of a exit from our usual format. For those of you who aren't aware, November is Adoption Awareness Month. And so today on the show, we are going to rock it with some adoption. And got some special guests in studio with me right now. I've got Yvonne Devitt from the Adoptive Families Association of British Columbia. Good morning, Yvonne. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Just back in off a flight from on Ottawa.
Yeah.
Last night. So you're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Very impressive for first thing on a Wednesday morning. So we're going to have Yvonne in studio with us talking a little bit about adoption. All the music that we're going to play today is going to be adoption themed. So whether the artists themselves were adopted, whether they've adopted children or been birth parents. And we've also got a special guest that's going to be joining us here shortly. We'll have Biff Naked in studio as well, sharing a little bit about her story. And it's going to be a great, great day. Of course, last night, Tuesday, was Shindig, Battle of the Bands, and this was the first semi-final that we had going on. And congratulations to Teapot Hill, who won a raucous contest last night. They ended up, I believe it was a cage match towards the end of it, where all the lead singers had to face off in a grappling, no-holds-barred fight. And Teapot Hill came out on top, so congratulations to them. You can catch the next semifinal next Tuesday, and that, of course, is at the Railway Club on beautiful Dunsmuir in Vancouver. As well, we've got our celebration. CITR is celebrating 75 years on the air, and we've got a big show coming up November 17th at Chapel Arts. We've got Channels 3 and 4, Culture Shock, Miss Mar and Friends, Gang Signs, Fine Mist, Carolyn Mark, and the new Best Friends, so it's going to be a fantastic show. You can get tickets in advance for $10 and $12 at the door. And if you want to catch us here on the show today, you can always call in at 604-822-2487, or you can find us on Twitter at Tweets and Tunes, or at Facebook at facebook.com/tweetsandtunes. And of course, on our incredible website, powered by Crave Media, tweetsandtunes.com. You can find our new song and video of the week there, as well as our playlist from today, our podcasts, as well as a few blog entries, pictures, and interviews from the show. So, no better place to start than with some music. And we're going to start off with a local girl born in Halifax, adopted by parents out there, and of course now residing in the lovely city of Vancouver. And of course, I'm speaking of Miss Sarah McLaughlin.
I will, oh, I will not forget. Please don't leave me again, cried, and I threw bitter tears at Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
All right, and we're back on CITR here this Wednesday morning, November the 14th. My pleasure to welcome to our studio Ms. Biff Naked.
I can't believe I made it. I walked through the woods.
Well, through the woods to finally get here.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Well, and there's lots of them here at UBC. And of course, Yvonne, you mentioned that you had a run-in with a coyote and three raccoons.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Yeah. I parked the car to call you for directions, and a coyote walked right across in front of
Was that
car.
Today?
Just this morning.
Oh,
and
then my
2 minutes
goodness.
Later, an entire family of raccoons as I'm walking out to meet you.
Yeah, oh see, you just can't buy that kind of education.
No.
You know, but here at UBC, it comes free of charge.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful, but, you know, if you're a dog owner like myself, it's a little bit, you're trepidatious, definitely, when you encounter nature.
Yeah, and we have a dog as well. We've got a Labradoodle. And great dog, lovely, great with the kids, you know, very good and protective. But the biggest chicken.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, our son calls her the Chog, the chicken dog, because...
That's funny.
Yeah, it just... Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, I have a golden doodle named George, so I totally get it.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a wuss as well.
That is funny. And, of course, my dog would be the pugnacious one, the smallest one, the oldest one, and the most pugnacious. He's a Maltese who's almost 16, and he would probably start barking hysterically at any other animal.
Yeah, and the only dog that I know, and I'm sure there's a couple more out there, but the only dog that I know that has a Twitter account.
Oh, see, I know Charlie the Doxy, the dog of Dix and Tam himself.
Oh, really?
Oh,
so,
yes.
So, and they're of course, they're friends?
Of course they are.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of dogs on Twitter. I highly recommend it.
for dogs.
George and I are missing it.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that Stella, my dog, can't, the nails don't work on the iPhone. You know, it's the same thing for women. You have to touch
That's
it with the
right.
pads of the fingers.
Absolutely.
And they have a lot of, it's like me with sausage fingers trying to type on that thing. It's just no good. So thank you both for coming in today. And, of course, we're here celebrating November Adoption Awareness Month. See, it's not just Movember. Other things go on at
this time
of the month. And I would say, you know, a very important subject. So, Yvonne, tell us a little bit about what the Adoptive Families Association of British Columbia does. Talk about your role there. And then we'll talk a little bit about adoption in the province. And throughout the show, we'll share some different stories. Of course, we heard Sarah McLaughlin off the top. And Sarah was born in Halifax, adopted by a family out there, actually adopted by U.S. parents that were living in Halifax at the time. And after that, we heard Blondie and Debbie Harry also adopted as a child as well. So talk to us a little bit about what's going on with the Adoptive Families Association and what's going on here at Adoption in B.C.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Jason, for inviting me in this morning. And I really enjoyed getting up at 4:45, so I don't know how you do this. The Adoptive Families Association has been around for 35 years, actually a little longer than that. And our big mission is to get the word out, mostly, about the fact that so many kids are waiting for families. Over 1,200 children in British Columbia right now are waiting for a family. And those are the ones that are registered, ready, and waiting. There are many more children in care, of course. The other goal that we have is to help families get ready and stay steady. So we provide information, education, and support before, during their process, and long after their kids come home, because we know as soon as those kids come home, that's when the journey really begins, the parenting journey, and so we're there for the long haul.
Now, when you talk about that 1,200 kids right now are waiting for adoption, what percentage of those are newborns? What percentage of those are toddlers, teens? Because as we just heard on the PSA, I think one of the most forgotten groups, probably people don't realize, are teens. And I can't think of anything more horrible than, you know, I'm 18 years old, I'm out on the street now, you're no longer in ministry
right.
care, and I have no family.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, the Adoptive Families Association, we have advocated very, very hard for teens in recent years. Up until very recently, if you turned 13 in the care of the ministry, you wouldn't be registered for adoption anymore. But we've really pushed hard for that, and the minister's really made some changes also so that teens are also getting registered for adoption. About a third of the kids waiting at any given time are teenagers. So the whole range of kids, from babies to teens, but there are very few infants. Most of the kids, the vast majority, are over 5-6 years old. And as I say, about a third of the kids waiting are teenagers. And when they turn 19, they age out of care, and they are basically discharged to no one but themselves. And if you can picture all of the young people in your life,
that's right,
how many of them would survive at 19 years old to fend completely for themselves? Because most of these kids, they age out of their last foster home, and they've got nobody.
Hmm. What are the stats on kids that age out of adoption, and just far as, you know, them really, you know, let's call it making it, but, you know, being able to get out there and just, you know, function in society and become a producing member of society?
Yeah, a lot of them don't. If you go down to our downtown east side, or in any city, any town, anywhere, a good proportion of the youth that are living on the streets have come directly out of foster care, because they just don't have anchors. You know, they don't have people to call. They don't have people that will act as a safety net for them. So a lot of these kids, they don't end up finishing high school. They sometimes end up pregnant, end up getting involved with the criminal justice system. They end up in trouble because they don't have anyone to hold them. So we advocate very strongly that kids, you know, teens need families too. And it's amazing when we get the word out, families come forward, families that have parented their kids, they know they're good at it, and they come forward to say they're not finished yet, that they will do some more parenting. And so we really believe that there are families out there for all the teens that are waiting. So,
well, I've got to believe that. I've got to think that, you know, from people that I've known and experiencing the empty nest syndrome,
mm-hmm.
when the kids are gone, off to university, you know, they get married, they're out of the house. I know my parents were glad that I was out of the house long before I was married.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's people there that, you know, love to parent. And they said, hey, you know, we've done a good job at this. And I'm sure that's, you know, an excellent people group, you know, for looking at teens.
Yeah.
They've gone through there, they've been there, they've done that.
Well, parenting's a tough job. You know, what do they say? It's the toughest job you'll ever love. But it's that job that by the time you really get good at it, you're done. You know, the kids are exiting the house,
right,
and you think, darn, I was just getting good at this.
That's right.
So, you know, those are the families that we want,
exactly,
that have parented teens before. It's ideal. They have some skills. They have some experience. But we also have families coming forward with, I think, great courage to adopt older kids and teens that have not parented before. And that's possible, too.
Hmm.
Well, I think there might be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe there's even a bit of a myth that surrounds being eligible to be an adopted family. I think
mm-hmm.
people don't know mm-hmm. The criteria, and they don't think it speaks to our society and our unworthiness individually
mm-hmm.
and as family units. We think, oh, I wouldn't be eligible, or I wouldn't be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that families need to go to the website, look it up, and make some calls, attend a workshop, and know that you can be of immeasurable value in someone's life, and really advocate and be someone's person.
Yeah.
You know, if
exactly.
you are an older couple, an older single person, it doesn't matter. You know, just all it is about is really wanting to do it and
yeah.
wanting to parent.
Well, you're so right, Biff. There's so much misconception out there about adoption. What people think who they think they need to be, or
yes.
what they think they need to be. And British Columbia has its own adoption laws, every province does, and in British Columbia you need to be over the age of 19 and a resident of the province. That's the basic criteria. That means that you can step up and apply.
That's right.
The mandatory criteria for anyone adopting in the province is that they do a home study,
yes.
which is pretty standard anywhere, but also in BC we mandate an educational component, so that there's a bit of a process for families to go through. And the educational component is so important, and that's been my role at AFA for the last, I don't even know how many years now, I've lost count. I've been there 12 years, and a big part of my role has been educating parents, and that's actually how I met you, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Jason attended a workshop, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
But families do need to learn a lot. You do need some skills. You do need a wider perspective as a parent, for sure. there are extra issues to parenting by adoption.
Absolutely, and it's definitely a prospect that you want to jump into eyes wide open.
Yes.
To make sure that you got. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. And all right, we'll get back to a little bit of music. And this is Cobra and Vulture from the album Vocare and Early Adopter.
As I walk through the corners of Cooley High, I gotta be thankful that I'm still alive. I have a lot of thoughts like, who the hell am I? What is the truth and what is a lie? But I think about my life and everything is okay. I gotta pave a way to a brighter day. Cause it's really plain and simple when it came to me. There's a lot of people just like me. There's a whole lot just like me.
And the cats and the fairies.
Here we go. Hey, yo. The child was born. It was a beautiful day. It was 1964, the 31st of May. The girl gave birth to a baby boy. He is not a burden. He's a bundle of joy. She was just a young girl in our youth. And her parents trying real hard to hide the truth. Is there a chance for the baby to live? That is a chance that you gotta give. That is a chance that you gotta give.
And the cats and the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the mad and the blue. Maybe coming home out of your way. We'll put together then.
What you saying, huh?
No one ever could tell.
What you saying?
out of the womb. Another long month in a hospital room, facing doom in a tomb, cause the kid is alone. But somebody came along and they took the kid home. He came into the world like we all do, but he never ever knew how he came through. Do the best you can do if this happened to you, and understand all the words that I'm rapping to you. Understand all the words that I'm rapping to you.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the blue. If we're going home, I don't know where. We'll put together then. You know I'll have a good time.
Father is the mother and the father is. Yo, the mother and the father is all that he knows. They give him lots of love and you know that it shows. He's living really well, he has all that he needs. He came into the world and he's gonna succeed. It is a blessing to live a good life. If nothing is wrong, then something's right. They say that life is a mystery, and I just wanna know my history. Understand that life is good to me. That's the way it is, so
let it be.
My life is complete. Everything is alright. Life is good to me. I'm in paradise. Understand what I'm rapping. No pain or sorrow. I just want you to know. Yo, yo, I just want you to know. Yo, yo, I'm alright, ma. I'm alright, ma. Na, na, na.
I'm a cat in the cradle and a silver spoon. Little boy, little boy.
Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. When I'm not riding my bike, hanging out with my cats, or making soup, I'm listening to Tweets and Tunes on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, and we're back on Tweets and Tunes. In studio, rocking for adoption here in November, Adoption Awareness Month. And again, my guest in studio, Yvonne Devitt from the Adoptive Families Association of British Columbia, and their website, bcadopt.com. And Biff Naked.
Hello. I'm an adopted person.
Adopted person.
That's right. That's why I'm here.
Rock and roll diva. You know, it's funny. The very first time I ever met Biff wasn't, well, I didn't really meet her, was not today. It was, I was young, strapping lad. You were,
I always laugh.
You always look young.
God bless you.
Yes, and it was, good heavens, this must have been like way back in the day, let's call it 97. And you know, they used to have all the shows out here at UBC at like the arts, and they had like,
many times.
Yeah, and they had like the Labatt's Blue, and they would be like all these great bands, and I think there was, REM was there, and I think Radiohead was there one time, and they had a Labatt's Blue Zone. And so we got these little passes, which we thought gave us backstage access, but actually it was only to like a little beer garden. And so we just walked right into the backstage with our passes. And the security guard's like, okay, fine. And we saw this tent with all this amazing food. I'm like, this is the life. This is really great. And then standing right outside the tent was Biff Naked. And I walked by with my buddy, and I'm just like, that's Biff Naked. And we were too shy and weensy to, come and actually say hi, yes. And
I bet you claimed that you met her, didn't you?
Oh, we're like this. We vacationed in Aruba together. We were so close, yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, and but now, you know, years later, the beard's green, and, here we are sitting in CITR. So, speaking of our adopted friend, Miss, share with us a little bit. Well, share with us your story.
Well, you know, I think it's a common knowledge that I'm an adopted kid, and you know, everyone knows that I was born in New Delhi, India, and they go, "Really, that's really strange. You know, you look like a white kid. You know, how does this work?" And it's actually quite a beautiful story. My parents were working with the United Methodist Missions over there. My father was running a dental school, basically, that was kind of in conjunction with the Board of Missions in Bareilly. And they had a hospital and a seminary and an orphanage. And my mother came across a baby girl that was basically surrendered to the orphanage. And that was my older sister, Shireen. And, well, you know, long story short, the baby was had some maternal deprivation and lots of struggle. So my mother started spending time really concentrating and caring for this little girl, probably only a couple months old at the time. And they wound up taking Shireen into their home and adopting her. Although at that time in India, you know, things were very nutty bureaucratically, and it was sure. Actually you apply for guardianship, but I won't get into that. They were kind of pegged as suckers, as my father likes to say, and they heard kind of through the grapevine that a baby was going to be born to a Canadian girl a few cities away, and maybe they'd think about being interested in adopting another child. And my dad loves to tell the story. He says, "Well, you know, if no one else wants the baby, well, why not? We'll take her, you know."
Sure.
And so, lo and behold, on a very hot, sunny day in June, they drove from Bareilly to New Delhi, India, as had been prearranged that they would pick me up. And they were, they snatched me and drove straight back to Bareilly. Now, because India at that time had guardianship papers, and it was very strange, you know, for a Canadian baby to be adopted by American people in India.
That happened. You know, if I had a dime for every time I've heard that story.
Yes, it was very difficult for them to actually get the proper paperwork to get me out of the country. If anyone's listening from the High Commission for Canada in New Delhi, you need to call me. Oh, no, I'm kidding. But eventually it worked out, and they moved back to the United States and adopted us officially. And I've always known I was adopted. I've always had complete 100% pride in that, and my parents have always taken a lot of pride in that, both my sister and myself. And they had their own baby also, my younger sister, Heather. So I never knew any different, and I always had a great sense, as the only Canadian in my family and the only one of two adopted kids. I always knew both of those facts, and I was extremely proud of it. I always knew that I would be an adoptive parent as a result. It's my responsibility, ethically. You know, I just always thought that from the minute I could form a thought in my little brain. And my parents as well always knew that that would be an eventual goal for me in my personal life. And I just think it's so important, even though I'm a Canadian birth abroad, as it is referred to, I think it's important, you know, just as members of our communities and just as healthy, cognitively sound, forward-thinking human beings, it's our responsibility, you know, as community members to step up and to look at adoption as an option. I highly recommend it as an adopted kid. I know my birth mother and her children, who are my half siblings, and we have a great time whenever I see them. And I'm very, very close to my parents and always thanking them so much. But I don't know any different.
Sure. Talk about, from what you've seen, you know, growing friends up that had, you know, we'll call the traditional family. Talk about some of the benefits. I think people, you know, for the most part, when they look at adoption, they see it as a negative thing. Oh, well, you were adopted. You don't have a family. You know, this is. But I don't think they realize that there's a lot of joy coming from an adopted child that knows both families, that has an opportunity to, you know, be part and loved immensely by two sets of families. So talk about having that, knowing your birth parents and what it's like growing up as an adopted child, and just the sense of belonging and how that affects that.
Well, you know, there's a saying that I always like, and it is, with adopted kids, you go from one mommy's tummy to another mommy's heart. Mm-hmm. And it really is true. Even though if anyone has ever had to put a child up for adoption, or even put a child in the foster care system and hope for the best, you know, there's a lot of heavy-hearted hand-wringing that goes along with that. So, like we were discussing earlier, it's definitely going to hold a lot of very heavy feelings, both sides of the coin. There's going to be a lot of pain and sorrow for the child on one hand, because they are losing, you know, their sense of belonging, their sense of family, possibly, or, you know, that will be met with joy, and that will be embraced, and their lives and their destiny can be changed forever and ever, just with a very, very simple gesture, and that is just to be included in a loving family. I mean, it's just the easiest thing for anyone to do who is a parent, who wants to parent, who enjoys parenting, anyone who loves kids of any age. You know, I just really think that it's so important to talk about, and that's why I'm excited to be here for Adoption Awareness Month. I just think it's really something that I would love to share and talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yvonne, tell us about the support for not only families who are thinking about adopting or who have adopted, and as an adoptive father myself, I know that there's it's not the same as rearing your own, and we have both a biological child and an adopted child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, children themselves don't come with a manual.
Don't you wish they did?
Depends who wrote it. But, you know, there's definitely a different set of circumstances that come along with adopting a child. What support, what is the Adoptive Families Association of BC? What do they have for not only parents that are adopting or thinking about adopting, but for parents who have given up their kids for adoption, for birth parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, the reality is our organization really focuses mostly on adoptive parents. We don't have programs that offer support to birth mothers. That is something that we always strive for, we want to do, but we always have limited resources. Mm-hmm. So we do tend to focus on supporting and educating adoptive families. And you're right, it's a different track in parenting by adoption. First recognizing, as Biff said, that all of our kids have birth families, and we need to acknowledge that. And gone are the days where that was all shrouded in secrecy and shame. Openness is a big part of adoption now, and it's a conversation that I think goes along with any adoption, whether it's local or international. Openness is becoming possible in many adoptions. So the first thing we all need to do as adoptive parents is to acknowledge that those birth families exist, and to share as much information as possible with our children so that they know their stories, they know their history. And that's so important. We all need to know our past. And if that's a big blank slate, that's really tough. But the grief and loss piece is there for everyone, for the birth families that make that gut-wrenching decision to make adoption plans for their kids, for the kids that the grief and loss pieces are there for them. They've lost the families they've been born to. And for many of us as adopting parents, we've battled the infertility beast, so we've experienced some grief and loss around that as well. So a big part of what we do is helping families to understand the grief and loss piece, and the other key elements for adoptive families, like attachment, is kind of critical.
So
helping families understand the key issues and really giving them some skills and some strategies around that, because bringing your kids home and loving them is the first, you know, is the big main ingredient, but having some skills and some parenting strategies too is critical to success. And that's what we want. We want all families to be successful.
Absolutely. All right, well, you know what? We're going to play a Canadian music icon who was also adopted. It's amazing when you look into adoption and you just talk about... The point of adoption, obviously, is not to adopt a child so they can grow up to be a musical superstar. You know, but when you look at people who were given a chance that maybe otherwise wouldn't, and what they can make of the two adopted U.S. presidents, two mm-hmm. adopted first ladies. Clinton was adopted. Nancy Reagan was adopted. Eleanor Roosevelt was adopted. You can look at the list of people. Steve Jobs from Apple.
Amazing.
Every child is amazing. But this shows that when given a chance, when given an opportunity to get out there, just, you know, and there's millions of out there that don't have their name in lights, but they make a difference every day. And you know what? The fact that just they're loved by a family coming alongside and loving them.
And loving a family back. I mean, the only real prerequisite for an adoptive parent to have really is a big heart.
Yeah. Well, and as we'll talk about a little bit, it's amazing the room that God makes in your heart for an adopted child when you think, hey, you know what, I can't love any more than I can. It's amazing when they bring in your life and how that happens. So, all right, our adopted Canadian music icon, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Stomping Tom Connors.
Wonderful.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
CITR is celebrating its 75th anniversary of UBC Radio Excellence, 30 years on the FM dial, and 30 years of Discorder magazine. Your one and only CITR 101.9 FM is inviting all CITR alumni and friends to our alumni weekend this November 16th and 17th. On the 16th, we'll be kicking it live on location at Perch on 337 Hastings around 5 p.m. for some beers, cheers, and cooling with peers. The 17th, come to Thea's Lounge for some Give Us Your Love brunch at 11 a.m. Find out more about what's going down at the station and the progress we have made over the years. Shortly after, join us for tours of our beloved station and learn about our space in the new sub. Come to our birthday party on Saturday evening at Chapel Arts with CITR alumni Lisa Marr and Culture Shock performing, as well as Gang Signs, Fine Mist, Carolyn Mark, and Channels 3 and 4. Reminisce about the good old days, bumping the shows of the past, as we have dedicated this special weekend to hearing our alumni on the airwaves. So come and cool out with us on the freaking weekend and have you some fun. But don't forget to register for events. Visit CITR.ca for more details.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is food fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, and we're back. Rockin' Adoption here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My guests in studio, Biff Naked.
Hello.
Yvonne Devitt from the Adoptive Families Association of British Columbia, which you can find their website at bcadopt.com. And I just heard from a person who wrote a note right on my paper in front of me, which would be Yvonne. You guys got an Adoption 101 workshop coming up November 24th for those listeners out there that might be interested in learning more about adoption. And I'm assuming Adoption 101 would be the basics about
This is, I just sort of, I thought I'd scribble it down there so we remember to tell people about it. Adoption 101 workshop is designed for folks who are interested in adoption, don't know very much, have no idea where to start. So this is a full day workshop, so we cover all of your possible options as a BC resident, and all how all those processes work, you know, the time frames, the costs, the people, the players, all of that. And then in the afternoon we cover some of the key issues for adopted families, and those being attachment, openness, grief and loss, some of the things that we think families really need to have their eyes open about before they head down this journey.
Mm-hmm.
So we invite anyone who is interested to come and join us. You can find out on the website, bcadopt.com, and just follow the link for workshops. And if you'd like to come and learn, to see if adoption just might be for you. And Biff, I'm inviting you to the workshop.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I find it interesting. So just so everyone knows, and this is going to be in the Lower Mainland in this area, so if you're at all curious, please come. What's the location?
It's at our offices in Burnaby. So if you go to the website, it'll give you the address. And there is a cost for the workshop, so people do need to register. Please don't just show up.
Right, of course.
That would be a good thing. Yep. Register, please.
Yep, fantastic.
And carpool, because parking's awful.
Yeah, carpool or
TTS. Yeah, no, parking's actually okay. Parking's all right.
Wonderful. I think there another misconception I think that we should address is what makes a potential family unit eligible? Can single people adopt?
Absolutely.
What are the different types of families that you've seen in your work in 12 years?
Well, and just to hop in here for a second, this varies. In BC, it's pretty wide open.
Yes.
Though if you go internationally, every country has different criteria by which you can adopt, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether your body mass index is appropriate, instance.
Very interesting.
So, let's talk about BC and the criteria for BC, and then we can go from there.
Basic criteria for BC residents is that you be a resident of the province and over the age of 19. That means you can apply. And then the criteria that we talked about, that you need to do a home study and you need to do an educational component, and that's whether you're doing a local or an international adoption. It's the same. In British Columbia, we welcome families. We know families come in all different shapes and sizes, and there's no such thing as a perfect picket fence family. We welcome single men, single women, couples, same-sex, any family, any family configuration is really welcome in British Columbia. And Jason, you're so right. With intercountry adoption, every country has their own criteria. So depending upon the country, it might be a factor whether you're married or not, whether you're straight or gay, whether you're single or not.
Tall and thin or not, yes.
Well, even some countries, they have a body mass index threshold. Or if you've ever had a mental health issue, or if you've been married before. So some of the criteria for intercountry is very complex and really rules out a lot of families.
Yes.
But in British Columbia, it's wide open.
You know, and it's interesting. I don't know if you remember it. By one of the things, though, make sure that you attend the sessions, especially if Yvonne is directing it, because she brings the best cookies.
Oh,
she has the best. Yeah, best.
Well, you know, I do come from a hospitality background, so I believe in good food.
Wonderful.
And so I was our youngest son was adopted. We brought him home from Ethiopia just a little bit over a year ago. And so I was at a seminar that you guys had on transracial and international, adopting an international child and parenting that. And talking about, you know, who can adopt and thinking, well, you know what, I can't adopt. Maybe I'm not ready, or we need to be a little bit older, or we don't quite have it together. Well, no one has it together to begin with. But I don't know if you remember, there was a couple in our workshop, and I'd actually met them at a previous adoption event probably a month prior to that. And they adopted their first child, and I believe it was a First Nations child, and they actually were able to adopt it and adopt the child. And they were 19. 19 and 20, do you remember? And they had four of them.
I know.
They're 20. They're 22.
I think they were in their early 20s.
They were now, but they had
24 or 25, but they already had four kids.
Four kids. Adopted. All four.
Incredible. Isn't that incredible?
Well, I love to tell families, you know, that the criteria is that you be over the age of 19, and then I always have to remember that family that actually did, the husband. They were a married couple, and the husband did adopt his first child at 19.
Isn't that
is remarkable?
It's not the norm.
Not common.
No, and not every 19. As a 19-year-old, I probably wasn't.
Yeah. Most adoptive parents are a little older.
Yeah.
Quite a bit older, actually.
Yeah.
It's possible, right?
No, so and it's a great story that, you know, adoption, first of all, as we talked about, it's something that you want to head into eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is... people always, it's funny, because when they talk to my wife and I about adoption, they find out, you know, it's pretty obvious that we're a family that's been touched by adoption when you see, you know, the four of us walking around. But it's so funny, because I'll always hear that, oh, well, you've done such a great thing. You know, and it's like adoption was the extent and expression of my altruism. You know, that I did this so that I could be a greater human being, which is not the case. You know, you've got a space in your heart, you know, you love, you want a child, you want more children, you want to share that. So it's not an altruistic endeavor, you know, to adopt. And adoption should never, ever be pursued that way. You know, when you adopt a child, it's not easy. Raising children in itself isn't easy. But as we talked about a little earlier and touched on, there's a lot of things that an adopted child brings to a table that you wouldn't necessarily find with a biological child. And that's not to say that, you know, it's not a good thing, but there's a different set of skills that people need to have, and a different, just a different dynamic when you bring an adopted child. And as we talked about a little bit about attachment. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, Yvonne? Talk about, you know, some of the different things that you need to be aware of when looking at adoption that you're going to face that maybe most people didn't know about or wouldn't occur to them.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, the criteria for adopting is, you know, the age and what your family looks like and such. But really, the biggest thing is that you're willing to make an unconditional commitment to a child. And that's, to me, that's what parenting is anyways.
That's
that
right.
You commit. You commit for the long haul. You commit no matter what. And for some of the children that are waiting for adoption in the province, they've had some really tough stuff going on in their life. And so for those kids, they don't know what unconditional commitment means. They don't know what a permanent, forever family means. And for a lot of the kids that are in British Columbia waiting here, that's pretty scary stuff.
Absolutely.
And when they do have an adoptive family finally commit to them, they will sometimes push your buttons a little bit to see if you really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And so families need to be ready for that. They need to be ready for that little bit of rocky road at the beginning, and that the attachment piece may not come. It may not come automatically, it may not come quickly, and it may be very hard won. They may not call you mommy in the first weeks and months, and they may not call you mommy or daddy for a long time. So part of it is willing to settle in for the long haul and recognize that in the end, and we all hope that every adoptive family will have many more joys than challenges, and that's what we all hope for as parents.
Sure.
We wouldn't get into it otherwise unless we thought that we were setting ourselves up for a lot more joy than challenge. But the challenges sometimes can be substantial. And that's where getting educated, mm-hmm. finding out what you're up against, getting some skills under your belt, and getting some good supports around you. Meeting other adoptive families and setting up a little village for yourself. And Jason, you probably remember this out of one of the workshops. Building a good village of support around you so that you're not all alone with this. Mm-hmm. Finding other adoptive parents who have traveled a similar journey to yours. And Jason, I know you've adopted transracially, and we have as well. We have two children of African heritage. And it was just immeasurable value in our lives to have other families who were also parenting children of different race, and that we could grow up alongside of them, and finding mentors to add into our children's lives as well, so that they had other adults of color in their life. That's been really, really important in our family too. So recognizing that you can't do it alone. And I don't think parenting is a journey that you're meant to do alone. But they're you know, in the end, they're just kids, mm-hmm. and to love them unconditionally and to commit to them is the first big fat ingredient.
Sure, and you know, it's a constant reminder. It's, you know, every day, you know, as an adoptive parent, reminding yourselves, stepping back, and looking at, you know, the grand scheme of things, seeing where, you know, kids come from. You know, when you adopt an older child, and when we brought our son home, he was 4. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, it's a whole different ball of wax than adopting an infant.
Yeah.
They come with a set of memories, experiences, their personality is well into formation by then. You know, the terrible twos and threes, they now have a sense of themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as we were talking about off air, when you have kids that maybe by the time, you know, older ones, they've been in 6 different foster homes, 6 different schools, and to be able to stop and say, okay, well, why is this family going to be any different mm-hmm. than the next family?
Right.
And it's, you know, how long am I going to be with them before I'm going to be somewhere else?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it breaks my heart, because what an awful way to be.
That's
and
right.
What an awful way to feel. So, you know, there's definitely baggage that comes. You know, we all carry our baggage, but a little different. But as you said, it's that hope and, you know, that joy and clinging on to that, you know what, the season of trial and the season of tribulation is going to be replaced and surpassed by that joy that you can only have. You know, as a parent, you don't understand the capacity that God gives you to love another person until you have a child. And at that moment, you realize that there's just a whole, like, completely different. You know, the moment that you look at this child and you get to the point that, you know what, I'm going to step in front of a bus without a thought for this child to protect it. And it's an amazing, beautiful thing. And that is regardless of the origins of the child. And for men, it's different. You know, we were talking that, you know, I remember when Isaac, our oldest, was born, and going through the whole process of the pregnancy, and, you know, watching as, you know, Isaac was growing in the womb, in utero. And for men, I think there's a lot of time, as, you know, when you're a couple expecting, that there's that sense of trepidation. And it's kind of like, I like kids, but I also like that I can send kids home at the end of the day to the parents or to their family or whatever the case is. And I'm like, how am I going to feel about that? And so there's always that little bit, that sense of trepidation. And so much different for the women, because there is not a physiological connection as, you know, as the child grows. And so, you know, the child's born. I remember when Isaac was born, you know, the doctor put him in my hands and I just cried, you know, and wept. And, you know, it was amazing. I just instantly smitten. But, you know, that also could have been because we were in 36 hours of labor and I hadn't eaten, you know. But, you know,
the poor thing.
Yeah. Oh, I know. My wife kept patting me on the back saying it's going to be okay.
That's funny.
No. But men, I think it's a little different. Our brains are programmed in the way that, you know, we need that stimuli. We're a stimulus-based species, you know, that we need to have the remote, or we need to play with the radio or drive the car, you know, that whole interaction. And I think that actually makes men well-equipped for adoption, because I think we start bonding more with children as they grow older and as they start interacting. You love your child, But as they become more interactive, that tweaks, I think, the male part of the brain that says, hey, you know, I get that. I can, you know, we can do stuff together now, and that's cool. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, men who are experience trepidation about adoption, and as you mentioned, it's certainly the case that I think a lot of the time it's the maternal instinct of women, and they say, look, yeah, let's adopt. I want to adopt. I want another child. And it takes men a little bit longer to kind of get pulled along, maybe in the process.
Yeah, sometimes. Or the other way around.
Yeah, and that's not obviously a hard and fast rule.
I think it's interesting what you said, and I like the fact that the point is it's about, the end of the day, it's really about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, certainly people, especially now, in our generation, there are more couples that experience infertility today than at any other time, probably in recorded history, that we are aware of. And I think that when people, men or women, lose their attachment to their own self, to their own desire to imprint their genetic code on another human being, and realize that really the bottom line is that you want to be a parent. I think that's really the bottom line. That is all that is really that important, is that you feel that you are capable, that your heart's big enough, that you're pragmatic, that you're ready, and more than anything, you're willing just to be a parent. Simple. Just that simple. And it really is all about the kids. And there are so many kids right now in British Columbia, Canada, right now, who don't have families, who are waiting and would just love the opportunity to feel loved and supported.
Again, and Yvonne, 1,200 currently?
Yeah, at any given time, there's 1,200 kids. Usually it fluctuates between 1,100, 1,200 as kids become adopted and then new kids are registered.
Yes.
So that number stays fairly constant. But and one of the things we haven't mentioned is that 1,200 kids, over half of those kids are part of a sibling group. So if you want a ready-made family, we can make that happen too.
Isn't that something? Imagine that.
Just add water.
Yeah, groups of twos and threes and fours and even some fives. So
isn't that remarkable?
And that's a tougher that's a tougher find, you know, that a lot of families are willing to take on one, but maybe not two or three. So we're always looking for families that are willing to consider a SIB group. And I say willing to consider.
Right.
You know, come and learn. Just come and learn about the kids.
That's right.
And, you know, nothing happens fast in adoption, I'll warn you. So nothing's going to be super speedy about this. So come and learn, come and listen, and see if it might be a fit for you.
That's right. And just, you know, anyone listening to the show, even today, you know, just go for it. Go to the website and just poke around. BCAdopt.com, and you can just get a real sense of how great this organization is, and really what it's in place for is really to support and find permanent, loving, wonderful families for these great kids.
Okay. Back to a little bit of music here. So this is certainly not in my wheelhouse, but my wife loves country music. And Tim McGraw, adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Married Faith Hill, also adopted. And this is a little Southern voice for you, Susan, whom I love.
Chased it, smooth as a hickory. my home. Sweet Ice Tea and Jerry Lee, they told me beach, that's what gets to me. I can feel it in my bones. Smooth as a hickory wind that blows from Memphis down to Apalachicola. Hi, y'all, did you eat well? Come on in, child, sure glad to know.
Control you, they bought him so.
in town. On November 25th, this highly creative musical group of somebodies that you all should know is coming to a theater near you. Yes, it is no other than the overnight sensation Walk Off the Earth, the one and only fabulous indie quintet who will be gracing the stage at the Vogue Theater, joined by Miss Cella Sue. They will be performing a couple of their classic covers that shot them to fame, as well as songs from their new EP, Revo. So, get your tickets online at thevoguetheater.com, Union Events, the Vogue Box Office, or at Zulu Records for only $23.50. Doors open at 7, all ages welcome.
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
All right, and we're back on CITR, rocking for adoption here at Adoption Awareness Month, Wednesday, November 13th. DJ Jack Velvet making his way into the studio. And speaking of adoption, he's adopted me as a young budding DJ.
Very
so,
nice.
You know, he,
speaking of. My stepdaughter's
adopted.
Yes. There you go. Look
at
that.
I know you're.
She was adopted at birth.
Yes, yes. I know you're lovely.
My wife got her day one.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I was 6 days old when I was adopted.
Yes, I know your lovely wife posted on Facebook that adoption does rock indeed.
I'm still trying to be adopted by some wealthy older couple in their
sure,
late 70s.
Yeah,
but
yeah. And it's
good luck
and
with that.
That's another problem, too, is there's a lot of middle-aged guys that really need to be adopted by a wealthy family, and that's you guys aren't working on that yet.
No, that's not an avenue we're pursuing.
It's not a priority right now. No, no, apparently not. So we've got the Adoption, again, 101 workshop coming up November 24th. And you guys are webcasting now. You guys are doing webinars.
We are.
For people who can't make it out to the, who can't slum out in North Vancouver, Burnaby area.
Yeah, primarily our workshops are in Burnaby. So we wanted to do something more for families all over the province. So we are now doing educational webinars every month. We aim to do one every month, but we're more doing two or three and sometimes four. So if you go to our website, bcadopt.com, and just follow the links for workshops and education, you'll see some of the topics that we have coming up. So 1 hour educational webinars, and you can jump on anywhere with a home computer. So how cool is that?
That's amazing. And you guys are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, we are social media hounds.
And it's at bcadopt. Is that your Twitter?
Oh, you know what?
Handle?
Don't ask me that.
I believe it is at bcadopt.
Yes.
Because we've been tweeting and retweeting.
Yes,
tweeting,
you're right. And the Facebook links and Twitter links are off our website.
Yvonne,
too.
Are you not in charge of the social media?
No, I'm not in charge of the social media. Can you tell? No, but we have been actually very, very active with social media. It's been very successful for us, helping to get the word out about the kids in BC who are waiting and want to be part of a big family.
That's right, and it's all about the kids. At the end of the day,
Absolutely, it is a child-centered process.
Yes.
And we are not a placement agency, but we know that it's a child-centered process where we focus on helping to get the word out to find the best families for each child.
Awesome. All right, we're going to play a couple more songs here before we finish up, and we'll definitely have a few more minutes to chat, but I'm going to play a song from my absolute favorite Canadian adopted artist, and this is Tango Shoes.
Oh, very nice.
Aww.
Thank you. When we're together, I am alone. I dawdle down the street, shuffle my feet, don't wanna go home. There's an antique store, I go inside. All I've got on me is only 20 bucks and my pride. That's when I see them. My new tango shoes, they are my treasure. My new tango shoes, they are my tango.
Natasha, I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
My whole life, I was never good.
Yeah.
Okay, and we are back on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Coming up shortly, you are going to be bombarded with the bombastic sounds of the suburban jungle, featuring DJ Jack Velvet, who is leering over my shoulder as we... Yeah, that's a leer. I know a leer when I see it. See, everyone's touched by adoption.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit of music for a second. That was your brand new song, So Happy I Could Die.
Thank you for playing
it. Oh, our pleasure. Thank you for writing it.
Yeah, very excited. New record's coming out in December.
And it will be called?
Biff Naked Forever.
Tweets and Tunes, the best show. Oh, Biff Naked Forever. Sure, that's okay,
right.
too.
Yeah, and it's an acoustic record. But I mean, acoustic, you know, songs like this are included, obviously. But a lot of them are acoustic. And yeah, it's a really happy project that I did with Ryan Stewart here and Jake and Ekstrom and Doug Fury and my friends over at Reliant Music. It's just been, just a real labor of love. I just am so excited.
That's awesome. Well, we are looking forward to it. The couple tracks I've heard off of it so far are just fantastic. And we're following you on Twitter as you were in the studio and excited to be
producing that. Yes, it's so thrilling. It's, you know, I'm very, we were just talking actually about just the fact that we're able to live and work as artists this long, you know, it's a testament to being proud Canadians.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Yvonne, again, to Yvonne and Biff, thank you so much for coming in as we celebrate Adoption Awareness Month. A couple things. You know what? If you want to tweet at me, and you can find me on Twitter at Tweets and Tunes, if you would like to go to the Adoption 101 workshop on November 24th, we're going to give away one seat. So tweet at me and tell me that you want it. And the first person that does that, we will give that away. And Yvonne, what else do you got going on there?
Just wanted to let people know the Adoption 101 workshop is a full-day workshop. So it's for anyone interested in adoption and wants to learn a little bit more. We also do waiting child info sessions, and that's the name of the all the kids that are waiting in BC foster care right now. We call that the waiting child program. So we have waiting child info sessions on a regular basis. So that is for that particular program. Adoption 101 is a great place to start so that you learn about all of your options and what all the key issues are for adoptive families, and just to discover whether it just might be a fit for you. So I thank you so much for having me here this morning, Jason, helping us get the word out. And it's been so great to meet Biff and her story.
And to meet you and to be here in support of BC Adopt. I'm just so thrilled.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And thank you, Jason,
well, ladies,
for having
us. My pleasure. It's always lovely to have my studio graced by lovely ladies. Usually it's just Mark. And also DJ Jack Velvet when he comes on in as well. All right. So, okay. Well, on that note, let's end off our adoption. First of all, if you want to find out more about adoption, go to the BC Adopt website. If you want to find out more about Biff, you can go to biffnaked.com or hairbiffina.com.
Harry Biffna.
No, it's hairbiffina. Oh, yeah. Harbiffna.com. And check those both out online. And you can also follow the Adoptive Families Association of BC on Twitter at BC Adopt. And let's end off today's show with a great Canadian artist, another artist who was adopted. Ladies and gentlemen, this is from Saskatchewan, Miss Buffy St. Marie.
My way. I'm five roll.